You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back, everybody. The second of two phenomenal guests this evening, from Kevin McDonald to Sam Dixon we go, the attorney, legendary orator. He's going to help us see current events with forward-thinking clarity. So for the past 4 hours of radio, the entire show last week and the first hour with Kevin, we were basically sort of processing what we saw that Wednesday, January 6th in Washington. We're going to look beyond that now with Sam Dixon, and we're going to begin with impeachment. But first, let's welcome our good friend back. Sam, how are you? And thank you for being with us tonight.
I'm fine. I hope you're well. I hope our listeners are all well.
We are as well as we can be in this day and age. I tell you, it gets more and more interesting every year, it seems. But you and I had a most interesting conversation a couple of days ago, midweek, and I said if we could bottle up this conversation and put it on the radio, it would be one of the greatest hours we've ever had. So I'm hoping we can come close to matching that magic. But one of the things we started out talking about, it will be the thing we start off talking about here now, impeachment. Impeachment. So if you don't know, let's quick crash course on impeachment. If convicted by 2/3 vote of the Senate, the president will be removed from office. Now, that's not going to matter now because it's not even going to come up until after he leaves. But in impeachment proceedings, the defendant does not risk forfeiture of life, liberty, or property. The only penalties allowed to be imposed by the Senate are removal from office and disqualification from holding any federal office in the future. So that's key. And it takes a separate vote with a simple majority to disqualify that person from holding that future political office. But even if convicted and disqualified from running again, the former president will still retain Secret Service protection and a pension for life. So that's what Trump is up against here as we sit right now, a post-presidential impeachment. It's got to be unprecedented. And we were talking about impeachment together, Sam, and you were saying that the regime is running the risk of overplaying its hand in a way that it may actually be beneficial for normal Americans sometime in the near to distant future. What do you make of it?
Well, I think that's exactly it. I think the old saying from antiquity in Latin that those whom the gods would destroy, they first make mad or insane. And that's what we're seeing. The impeachment drive can benefit only us. I'm all for it. I want them to vote to impeach Trump. Not because I think he ought to be impeached, but because I want them to show their hand. They have no basis for this impeachment. They're trying to hype up the story about the demonstration at the Capitol, but Trump never caused that. The language they're citing is simply ludicrous. One of the things they cite is that he says that we should fight for our rights. And they're saying, well, that's it. That's enough. We know that he was responsible for the riots. Well, as I was saying the other day, you know, there is a hymn in the hymn book called Fight the Good Fight. Fight the Good Fight with all thy might. So are they going to indict everybody in the churches for singing that hymn? It talks about fighting. Fight. Yeah. It's supposed to be a criminal proceeding. They're supposed to try to impeach people because of some criminal act they've done. But, you know, there is no basis for it. It's just absolute hyperbole. It's a fact-free action. And yes, the system media, with its usual dishonesty and corruption, will egg it on and they'll lie about it. But it's still an overreach, and it will come out. That as Biden becomes president and we move on and time moves on, people see that there was no basis for it, and the people who voted for it were completely irresponsible. And it was
Sam,
Republicans.
Sam, this is Keith.
Hey.
Sam, let me say this. Apparently the purpose of doing this is to prevent him from running again for president. And my question is, what are they thinking? you know, basically what Trump has done is act as a safety valve for a lot of pent-up frustration in middle America. But, you know, it's like Elvis's song, Too Much Conversation, Not Enough Action. When you look at his legislative record, he may as well be George W. Bush. You know, I guess they're taking the chance that they could get a person that not only talks the talk but walks the walk into the presidency. They would, you would think they would see that basically Trump has been all talk and no action in terms of, you know, giving us a populist and nationalist policy from the government.
Well, I think you're making a mistake of overestimating our enemy. I think they are subject to their own limitations, and they are hysterics, they are fanatics, they are people who are fundamentally at odds with life and reality, and they are full of hate. All of their talk about hate, accusations of hate. You can take one look at the face of AOC or Chuck Schumer. Show me a Chuck Schumer face, and I'll show somebody who is simply spitting hate out of that head 24/7. He hates white people. He hates Europeans. He hates Southerners with such a passionate hatred because he's been nurtured all of his life, the stories of how persecuted his ancestors were. He feels no identification with our country or our civilization. He feels only hatred for everything all the way back to Europe. He hates England. He hates the British system that we took over. He is just corroded with hate. And people like that have been driven mad by the gods, and they're doing what we want them to do. On Trump, I'm not a great Trump fan, but I think you do have to see that he has done things that they do not like. They is a pronoun, but there was a woman in Poland that wrote a book called Them, After the Fall of Communism, about the communists, because there was the Polish people versus them. And that's what it is here, the founding stock of America versus people like Schumer. They wanted more war. You know, one thing about the so-called liberals, and I'm not a conservative, and I agree with the so-called liberal position in a lot of things, but the systemites, they love the military-industrial complex. They love their ability to overtax Americans and take their money with this phony patriotism and to get these wars going, send the U.S. military abroad to fight Israel's wars for it in Iraq and Syria. They wanted war with Syria. They wanted the civil war in Syria to go on so that their country, so that Schumer's country, can be safe. And they didn't get any wars. They've had 4 years, poor dears, in which they have not had their fingers, their hands, in the pockets of the American people to take God knows how many trillions of dollars to fight these insane wars. They haven't been able to get their hands on American boys to go fight their wars. They're angry. Man, they believe they have reason to that.
Well, you're right about that, Sam. I mean, there's no doubt Trump was a net gain over Hillary or Jeb, and he would have been over Biden, to be sure. And
in foreign policy.
Of course, the rhetoric, Kevin was addressing this in the first hour. He says a lot of things that whips up grassroots excitement, and, of course, they don't like that either. This is just the beginning, ladies and gentlemen. A full hour with Sam Dixon continues next.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
All right, we're just beginning a four-segment interview with Sam Dixon, and each segment sort of has its own theme. We were talking about the impeachment in the last segment, and now I want to talk to you just a moment, Sam, about the media's spin on all of this, calling this a coup, calling this a siege, an insurrection. I was actually watching a documentary on the History Channel this week that talked about 10 of the greatest sieges of antiquity, and so, you know, this was up there with that, apparently, according to the media, this siege of people weaponless people. They were armed with, I guess, cameras and Trump flags. But this coup, this siege of these domestic terrorists and these extremists, which now has gone to be used as terms to describe the 75 million people who voted for Trump. No longer is it just those outspoken dissidents who are being slurred and libeled and slandered, but now anybody who voted for the president. The media has taken this in a way. If it was bait, they took it and swallowed it hook, line, and sinker. But it is repulsive even by regime media standards. Your thoughts on what you've read and seen from them?
Well, here again, those whom the gods would destroy, they first make mad. The system media is forfeiting what little credibility it had with these exaggerations. One thing that we mustn't lose sight of in all the despair that's being expressed is that roughly 48% of the American people, overwhelmingly white, voted for Trump after 4 years of saturation hate propaganda by people like CNN, Anderson Cooper, The New York Times, and others. The whites are approaching herd immunity against system media, and that's a huge step forward. And the media is helping us even more. It takes a lot for people to lose faith in the government and the authorities throughout all of history. People have generally believed authorities, but eventually they do lose faith in them if they really get out of line. To call this an insurrection is like calling a fight between some soccer fans World War III. It's really hardly anything at all. It's a minor blip in the news is what it should only be. they're using a wide brush to claim that everybody involved was a terrorist and a mob and all this. The venue there on the Capitol steps in front of the Capitol is a public place, and demonstrations take place there all the time. I was in Washington some years back, and Sarah Brady and the gun control people fill the steps with people demanding confiscation of guns. It's no big deal. There's no crime in going onto the steps of the Capitol with a placard individually or in a group. There were, I don't know how many people there. I've seen pictures. I'd have to say tens of thousands. Of them, a few dozen entered the Capitol. To say that everybody there was part of a mob, the mob attack, it's just absolutely false.
Hey,
and to call several dozen people insurrection, it's really ludicrous. It makes the embarrassing people on our side with their conspiracy theories and their black helicopters and that kind of thing, it makes them seem like models of responsibility and authoritativeness.
You're right. Your numbers are accurate. I mean, we don't know the exact number of people who actually crossed the threshold of the Capitol, but it couldn't have been more than, I would say, a couple of hundred at best. Now, that's obviously a lot more on the stairs, but I've read the charges. So they're hitting these people with federal charges: unlawful entry of a government building, and then unlawful disruption. I'm paraphrasing here. Unlawful disruption of a session of Congress. And so these people are facing some very have become very serious charges, and are facing some very serious jail time if found guilty and convicted. But what the media is doing is increasingly blurring the line between those who entered, and again, of those who entered, you had some that undoubtedly had the intention to do some harm. And we have seen videos of people who accosted a police officer. That really did happen. And the quickest way to be separated from your family, ladies and gentlemen, is to engage in or advocate for lawlessness. Don't do it. Don't do it. We're going to talk in the next segment about mentally abjuring the realm and focusing on raising strong families and building support communities. But Sam, back to the media, they are increasingly blurring the line between those who entered and those who were just there to listen to a speech from the president. And it's gotten so bad. Peter Brimelow wrote today, "If there is hope, it lies in the left's craziness. Washington Post tries to smear V-Dare as domestic terrorists because a flag appeared at a Capitol that looked similar to a flag that V-Dare sells." So your reaction to that, because that's where we're at now.
Well, yeah, Peter Brimelow is saying exactly what I said, that these people have been driven mad, and they're therefore less dangerous to us. They're doing what I would have them do. I want regime change. I want real change. I'm not interested in making America great again. I think it's time to wake up and smell the coffee, and it's been that way for almost all of my life, that we need to move on. We need to be thinking and talking in terms of post-America. America is an experiment, and it's an experiment that worked for a while due to lack of any kind of dangerous competitors and on our turf, near our turf, and absolutely lavish resources. Those days are over, and America, quite frankly, is the experiment that has failed, and we need to move on. So I'm happy to see the system doing what it's doing. The only people who have never failed us in my lifetime have been the system. They're doing everything I would have them do. They are showing themselves to be tyrants. They are a burden to the people. They're not answering any of the people's needs. They are insincere. They're hypocritical. They are just doing everything they can to ensure that they will eventually drive the bus off the road and the ditch. So that's all good. It's all good. And there you have it.
Sam, this is Keith.
Wait, Keith. I want to make one point. This thing about how they invaded Congress and interrupted the proceedings of Congress. Do you remember the Kavanaugh hearing when the feminists packed into the room and erupted, screaming and yelling? Do you think any of them ever paid a $50 fine? I doubt that any of them would touch. You know, well, you children, you people as young as Keith and James Edwards, and most of the listeners, you won't remember this. But when I was a young guy, there was a movie that was made by the pathetic little opposition that existed then, much weaker than we are now, called Operation Abolition. Have either of you ever heard of that, Keith? Have you ever heard of Operation Abolition?
No, I'll have to confess I haven't.
It was a documentary about the attack on the House Committee on Un-American Activities when it tried to hold a hearing in San Francisco about communist penetration of the Longshoremen Union, which was actually headed by a guy who was not a worker. He was a New Yorker. And he was head of the Longshoremen Union. It's a serious thing. We know now and knew then that the Communist Party was simply an arm of the Soviet Union. And to have the Longshoremen Union headed by a communist is something that certainly should be investigated. Anyway, they attacked the hearings. They attacked cops. They tried to break in. The witness himself was on the stand screaming and yelling encouragement to them and urging people to attack. That didn't. The mainstream media, even back then, was so pro-left and so hostile to people that would support the House Committee that that didn't arouse anybody's hackles. It didn't arouse them at all. So, this is really penny-ante stuff. People break into Congress. They break into congressional hearings. It really is just not a big deal. But our enemies are going to use it as part of their program to curtail civil liberties, and that's good too. Let's get rid of the illusion that America is really an orderly, free country.
When we come back, more great commentary from Sam Dixon. We'll toss it over to Keith Alexander for his ruminations and reflections and responses to what we've heard so far. We are going to talk to Sam about the historical perspective of the rise and fall of nations and empires. And I'm really looking forward to that segment. It's all forthcoming. But when we come back, straight to Keith. Stay tuned, everybody.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
The Pentagon says it's met the goal of drawing down troop levels in Afghanistan to 2,500. President Trump ordered the reduction back in November, with troop levels in the country now at a 19-year low. Capitol Police say they arrested a Virginia man Friday evening with a handgun and 500 rounds of ammunition at a checkpoint near the Capitol. Officials say Wesley Allen Beeler was arrested after presenting an unauthorized inauguration credential at the checkpoint. Officers found the firearm after a search of Beeler's truck. Congressman Lou Correa says he will miss the inauguration after testing positive for COVID-19. The California Democrat tweeted Saturday that he would be self-quarantining away from his family. Correa becomes the 62nd member of Congress to test positive for the virus and the 5th member to test positive since the riot to the Capitol on January 6th. This is USA Radio News.
Billy Gerard here for Ocean Salmon. The new year is on its way and you're making those resolutions. One of yours this year to eat better. And you know what? Salmon should be a part of that. And the best salmon is available delivered to you from our friends at OceanSalmon.com. Chilean farm-raised, sustainably raised in the cold Chilean waters. You know, it's one thing to make a commitment to eat better. The next step in that is knowing where your salmon comes from. The very best salmon comes from Chile, and that is OceanSalmon.com. Go right now, OceanSalmon.com. Use promo code ROCKSTAR15. You will get an additional pound of salmon, 15% off, and free shipping. Ocean Salmon, OceanSalmon, OceanSalmon.com. Promo code ROCKSTAR15. Free shipping, an additional pound, oh my goodness, and 15% off. OceanSalmon.com, OceanSalmon.com. That's OceanSalmon.com. Promo code ROCKSTAR15. Hurry, supplies are limited.
The State Department says it has new information indicating the coronavirus emergence may have happened earlier than first reported. USA Radio News' John Fourier has the story.
The State Department last night releasing what it calls previously undisclosed information about the virus's origins. For one, officials believe several researchers in the Wuhan Institute of Virology got sick last fall with symptoms similar to COVID-19. Chinese officials have said there was zero infection at the lab. China also didn't announce anything until December. The State Department claims while the lab maintains it's private and separate from the Chinese government, U.S. officials believe the lab has collaborated with China's military on secret projects. The U.S. has donated money to the lab in the past, and State Department officials wonder if any of that funding was diverted to some of those military projects. The State Department concludes that those revelations just scratched the surface of what is still hidden about COVID-19's origin in China. You can read the full fact sheet at state.gov. For USA Radio News, I'm Mike Fortier.
This is USA Radio News.
Oh, yeah, oh.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Keith, I'm happy to share with you and the audience and our esteemed guest a letter we received from a listener in East Islip, New York. He sent it in. On this letter, and he writes, it's hard to maintain a positive attitude when your situation gets worse every day, but thank you for continuing the fight for our people despite the attacks you endure from our enemies in the media. You've done well. I've been listening to this program every week since 2008, and I consider you and Keith friends and compatriots. You're the nicest and the most decent people on the air today, and I'm proud to support you. Stay strong and know that your vital work is appreciated by those of us in your corner. Well, that's the thing, and that's what we'll be talking with Sam Dixon about more in the second half of this interview, abjuring the realm and what we can do to comfort one another as we wait for history to take its toll on the American experiment, so to speak. But first, Keith, I know you had some observations and some responses to Sam.
Okay. Well, Sam, I would like to bring up a quotation. You have brought up some very pertinent quotations. A quotation that is attributed to Napoleon, which is, when you find your enemy digging himself into a hole, don't interrupt him. And I think that's what the left is doing. And, you know, as far as them blurring the lines between people that were being violent and people that were just basically there as tourists, I couldn't help reminiscing over dinner tonight with James about when I was a little boy and went to D.C., the District of Columbia, with my parents. We visited the Washington Monument, went up in it. We went to the Jefferson and the Lincoln Memorials, and I went to the Capitol and actually was in the rotunda looking around. And if you wanted to, they would let you into the Senate chamber or the House of Representatives, and you could watch some of the proceedings if you wished. So, you know, that was a traditional thing to do that most people expected to be allowed to do back in the 1950s and early 60s. And apparently everything has changed now, and everybody assumes that, of course, you can't go into the rotunda, even though we have now footage of the Capitol Police inviting people in because they didn't have the critical mass. But you said that basically you're not for making America great again. You're not for turning to the 50s, things like that. I understand that. Where should we go, or what should we hope for to develop after all of this, after the leftists cause the American government to implode? What is our best situation? What should we be working for, striving for, hoping for?
Well, you need to be like the Voortrekkers in South Africa, the Dutch who left British control and created their two independent republics that existed down to around 1900 in South Africa. The first step is what James was talking about, and that is abjuring the realm. It's a psychological break with the regime. It's coming to shift from first person plural to third person plural. When you look at the government, it's when you get to where you automatically think their Secretary of State is imposing sanctions on Russia. Their president is calling for intervention in Syria. They have sent the troops to Iraq. That's the first step, is to change the pronoun from we to they, because it is not we. The U.S. government pursues an anti-white, anti-Christian foreign policy, just as it does domestically. And as I've said before, and upset James some, I think, you know, Southerners especially should know that this regime does not change when it goes overseas. And yet we have been the ones who have rallied to the colors and supported president after president in these wars for nothing to do with us. So anyway, it's first a psychological withdrawal of support. And they cannot rule without people believing in them. And I'm not talking about people going out and committing crimes and trying to overthrow the government. Just the withdrawal of identification with the system will create so much stress that they will not be able to run the country. It will crash. And they will eventually, it's going to crash anyway. It will crash. I mean, everything is working against America. Everything is working against America and toward a crash.
If our group of people, quite frankly, you know, Southern whites, stopped enlisting in the military, just think of the effect that would have. You know, we already have generals. We used to have warriors. Now we have generals who are social justice warriors. And if the rank and file is the same, we're going to have no credibility as an armed force anywhere in the world.
Well, America has no credibility abroad. I mean, but they look at things like the last 3 months with the challenge on the elections, the all this stuff on the national capital, 4 years of lawlessness around the country that the FBI would not deal with. Yeah, the rest of the world looks at this and they're taking stock of America. And America is not viewed the way it was, say, in 1959. And this is good also. If America contracts, if its influence is diminished, this is a good thing for our people worldwide. It makes our cousins in Russia safer for this anti-European, anti-Christian, anti-white government to lose power. But we need to be talking to young people. The thing for us to do is to be drawing up plans. In the winter, the farmer looks to his tools, as the old saying goes. You can't plant. You stay in the barn and you sharpen the scythe and you repair the tractor. We cannot play a part in this political system anymore. There's no possibility of redress of grievances in it. The system is just irreparably and totally committed against us. And we have to plan for post-system. And we need to be drawing up plans for that. Where will our ethnostate be? Who will be permitted to come in as a citizen of our ethnostate? Will conspicuous race traitors, like, say, Heidi Beirich or Hillary Clinton, if they show up and say, oh, I'm white too, you know, I want in. I know very prominent people in our movement who said, oh, well, we would just let them in. They're white. They've seen the error of their ways. I don't think so. I think there has to be a settlement of our accounts, as Clemenceau said to the Germans at Versailles. And I don't think someone like Hillary or Heidi has any place in our society. But we need to be thinking through that. Who would be acceptable in our society? We need to be thinking about what kind of system we're going to have. Hopefully, we will see beyond this democratic system, and we will have a system that is representative, where the public will is represented, but not something like we have now with this ludicrous, outrageous universal suffrage democracy. So we need to be thinking about that, and we need to be talking to young people. I'm old. I'm 74. I will soon be gone. And, you know, people like me don't really matter anymore. It's the young people. And we need to be focused all of our energies on the young and causing them to despair of the American system and to lose faith in America and its government. That's what we need to be doing.
Well, Sam, it's not going to be hard to do, and that has been made increasingly clear. If there was ever any doubt that we could vote ourselves out of this, I think everybody should be about completely disinvested of that notion by now. Let's just say you break through and you send a guy like Trump, who is ostensibly on our side, or at least appears to be, up there. Well, he spends half of his term under impeachment. Okay, this is the second impeachment. Yeah. You had the Russia hoax. You had all of this, just total gridlock. He was completely neutered by the media and by the Democratic House. Then you have this election fraud that has not been settled at all. Then if you elect somebody like a Steve King, who said something as innocuous as I like Western civilization or whatever it was he said back in 2016. Well, they proceeded immediately to strip Steve King of all of his committee assignments. And they poured money into defeating him in the next Republican primary, which they did. And if you do run a candidate that's outspoken on our issues, well, he's not a bona fide Republican. We're not going to give him ballot access. They've been pulling these tricks for years. And now you've got the media and people people in Congress, saying that all of the Republican members of Congress that stood to question whether or not the election results were valid, they are calling for their arrests. Other members of Congress are calling for the arrest of those members of Congress, and the media is calling for their arrests.
Doesn't that make your heart rejoice?
It's a dystopian thing.
It causes me to have a little holiday in my heart. It's more and more like the French.
It's like the Bolsheviks going after the Mensheviks.
Well, and then Josh Hawley, as we were talking about with Kevin McDonald.
Better than that. It's like the Jacobins sending the Girondists to the guillotine in the French Revolution.
Exactly.
Yeah, the so-called elected Congress. I'd love for them to expel the Republicans. I love the fact that they have to vote on the impeachment and that little Lynn Cheney voted for it. That means we have left to worry about Lynn Cheney for a long time.
Yes, well, we hope that the Cheneys will finally be removed. I mean, the fact that that's another thing, though. That's another whole conversation.
How could Wyoming be represented by them?
Dick and Liz Cheney. And then, of course, you have now Sam Josh Hawley can't even. Senator Hawley can't even rent a hotel. He's just like us now. We'll be right back.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, little Q. The calm before the storm. By a friend of Medjugorje, the strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, little Q, the calm before the storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
One thing 2020 has made crystal clear. For liberty lovers, hope lies where it always has, in our own hands. So join us at Liberty Hall on Saturday, January 16th for a preparedness fair. With speakers on topics from health to food growing, prepping supplies, first aid, self-reliance, and more. 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Saturday, January 16th. Go to lovingliberty.net. That's lovingliberty.net.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, we've covered a lot of ground with Sam Dixon, and always an hour with Sam Dixon is never nearly enough. One day I'm going to drive to Atlanta, and we're going to do just a three-hour show together, and then maybe then and only then will that suffice, quench the thirst that we have to hear more from Sam. But what we've been talking about tonight, multifaceted. We talked about the impeachment. The fact that Trump will already be out of office when the Senate trial takes place really reveals the truly vindictive nature of our enemy and their coup. There was a coup. It was theirs, not
well, it's
not,
obvious
not
that their purpose is that he not be able to run for president again,
yeah, and that goes
which
back
shows
to-
you how much they fear him and why in the world do they fear him like that?
Well,
it's
that
crazy.
Goes back to what we were talking about at the latter part of the last segment. I mean, they're now going after every member of Congress who questioned the certification of the Electoral College as if they themselves, quote-unquote, stormed the Capitol, the media, other members of Congress calling for their arrest. So we say in response to that, invest in your family and in your community. Strengthen and encourage one another. Prepare. Sam used the farmer analogy a moment ago. Prepare. And don't surrender to despair. You can surrender on the idea of America being reclaimed in the, at least the America that we know traditionally. You might can surrender that, but don't surrender. Our people will endure. Our people can survive, even if this government doesn't survive. And historically speaking, if you look at the rise and fall of nations and empires, tell me how many nations have stood the test of time without ever redrawing their political boundaries and their geographical boundaries. The idea that America, this 50-state entity that we know today, will survive indefinitely and on into the future forever, it just isn't going to happen. And that's what we're talking with Sam Dixon about in this segment. So, by the way, let me first remind you that we're going to revisit one of Pat Buchanan's appearances on this show, during which we talked to him about the suicide of a superpower. And I asked Pat, would America survive to 2025? Now, this was an interview that took place some years ago, and it seemed like a bit hyperbolic at the time, that question, but now it seems more prescient than ever. Will America survive to 2025, the suicide of a superpower? We're going to revisit parts of that interview with Pat Buchanan in our third hour, and Keith's going to offer brand new commentary in light of recent developments. So stay tuned for that in the third hour. But first, to Sam Dixon. So, Sam, we were talking about the fact that very few times in history have the peasants been able to overthrow a government. Now, we wouldn't recommend that. To recommend that would be to recommend that they spend the rest of their lives either dead or away from their families. We don't want that for our people. But that's not to say that tyrannical governments endure forever. They don't. How do they fall?
Well, they fall by committing suicide, and that's what that's what their government is doing, is committing suicide. The challenges that are faced now are just gargantuan. Even the greatest statesman in human history, Augustus in Rome, someone like that, would face an almost impossible task in taking charge of America. America is not a nation. It is unstable, the same way that Syracuse in ancient Italy was unstable. And Aristotle said the reason for that was that the Greeks who settled in Syracuse came from many different areas of the Mediterranean and of Greece, and they weren't one people, and therefore they were doomed to be unstable. And that's nothing compared to what we have here. What we have today in America is a geographic entity. It's not a nation. It's a stretch of land. That stretch of land is inhabited by two separate nations. It's inhabited by people of European Christian extraction with the heritage of antiquity merged with the history of Christianity. And it's a very distinct civilization. It's very different from Semitic civilizations, as you find among the Jews and the Arabs, or among subcontinental Indians. It's a very distinct thing. And we have about 55% of the people here who belong to that people. And we have about 45% who belong, like Schumer and others, and Kamala Harris and AOC, to another nation. And that nation hates our nation. And they will pursue our nation. Their hatred is implacable. There's nothing we can do to diminish their hatred, as we see with both Schumer and AOC. So there cannot be any way to save America or to create civility or all the things we're hearing about, bring us together. No, we're like Asia Minor, or as it's sometimes called Anatolia, in Turkey after World War One. That stretch of land was inhabited by three distinct nations, by Greek Christians, by Turkish Muslims, and Armenian Christians. It was impossible that those three people could live together in the same national household. It was impossible in Bosnia-Herzegovina and in Yugoslavia that people could actually live in the same household where there is so much division and quarreling, and that's the case here. There's nobody that can solve this problem. The problem is driving unavoidably, ineluctably, towards the solution we want, which is the division of the country and the creation of a republic, an ethnostate, for us, like Schumer and his people claim for themselves in Israel. And there's nothing wrong, immoral. If they're entitled to an ethnostate, there's no reason why we are entitled to one, no decent reason. But anyway, there are other things. The economy is in hopeless states in America. It doesn't matter if COVID had never come along. The fundamentals are that America is no longer the industrial center of the world as it was in 1945. Much like Britain in 1900, the U.S. had a long run as being the world's foremost and unchallenged industrial power. That ended long ago. And with the Chinese and the Koreans and all these other people industrializing and having a better workforce and a better government than we've got in many respects, the U.S. has to go down economically. So, you know, there's just no one is going to be able to handle this. This is not a happy situation. And the stress is something that the system cannot sustain.
Well, you're right about that, and I mentioned that in our conversation before. I'm 40 years old now. I've known you for over half my life, I guess, or at least half my life. And the political stress is so palpable now in a way that I have not experienced in my lifetime. In the last 40 years, I have not experienced the political stress level to this extent. It is taut. And there has to be a release. I mean, the pressure valve has to be released. And if they think that these heavy-handed tactics of going after people who went and just to listen to the president and getting them fired from their jobs is going to make them all of a sudden good liberals, no, it further radicalizes Red State America. Red State America is never going to go back into the can because of increasing totalitarianism. And so we talked about, would the Soviet Union be a good model for what could happen eventually in America? Because we all know a house divided cannot stand, and this is a house divided.
Well,
it's
to go back
polyglot.
To the French Revolution the way that Sam did, basically the Thermidor will end at some point, and more reasonable people will come in charge. You know, let them be as radical as they want to for a while. It's just crazy. You know, they're, like Sam said, they're digging their own grave.
Well, unfortunately, with the Soviet Union as a parallel, is that they were largely one people of one faith, and of course we're everything but it will not be
that,
this way,
James,
forever.
There's more than that, James. When the Soviet Union collapsed, the peoples of the Soviet Union, the Estonians, Latvians, Lithuanians, Ukrainians, and Russians and others, they had countries they could go back to with long histories. The
That's
problem for white people, this is something we need to think about, is that the problem with white people in America is that we have been deracinated. We don't have anything to go back to. We will have to create an identity. We will have to create a new identity for an old people. And so it's going to be much worse. It also, I hope it can be done nonviolently. I'm not a violent person. I'm basically a pacifist. Which is one reason I voted for Trump over the warmonger Hillary. But I don't think the chances are good that it can be done peacefully, because like Bosnia-Herzegovina, America celebrates diversity. When Yugoslavia collapsed, Slovenia, which was all Slovenian, could go its way in peace. But in Bosnia-Herzegovina, where they were celebrating diversity and had three mutually antagonistic peoples, Catholics, Catholic Croatians, Orthodox Serbs, and Muslim Bosnians, they're all living together. And that's the way it is in America. And it's going to make it very, very difficult to finesse this in a nonviolent way. I hope it can be done. but we have to be realistic that we have real problems on our hands. But I'd like to take advantage. We're running out of time.
Yeah, just seconds remaining. Take the last word.
I wanted to focus a bit on Biden. I wonder if I could intrude and even go into the next hour. Would that be possible? Because I think there's important things to be said about Biden.
We could make another segment available if you think you can do it in another 10-minute spot, and then we can get to the Buchanan interview and have Keith break it down. But,
here's what I'd say about Biden. I think we will see more repression. Biden is under pressure from Bernie Sanders and AOC and the other fringe elements. He's going to want to throw them something, and we're the perfect thing for him to throw to them, that he's going to violate our rights. We'll pick this up in a minute.
All right, let's carry you over, Sam, then, for one more segment into our third and final hour to give a little Biden forecast. This is our last show of the Trump era. Biden will be president before we come back on the air next Saturday.
So this
could be interesting. We'll see what Sam forecasts for that. And then we'll revisit a classic conversation about the suicide of a superpower, which is, of course, what we believe, what we've been talking about this hour, is being committed as we...